I want to welcome everybody this morning. I almost said this evening. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope that you've had a good week. It's been a beautiful week and a beautiful day today. That I want to echo that Tim brought up in the announcements. There have been so many that have been helping with the updating, long-needed repairs to the church building and to the decoration. We finally got some doorstops this last week on those beautiful doors that Leslie and Debbie both had worked on for so long, and we just really appreciate that. And we have new arrangements back here. Kathy Jo did that this last week, and it really looks nice. I really appreciate that. Kathy Jo's got impeccable taste. She reminds me of Carolyn. And that probably, you're probably wondering, well, then how did they get LaVon and Rick? But I can't speak for Kathy Jo and LaVon, but Carolyn found me on a landfill. Somebody had thrown away a perfectly good man, so she just grabbed me. I hope you've had some time to consider what we're here for this morning during the Lord's Supper. It is our privilege to be able to remember what we're here for. And specifically that we were lost at one point. And yet, because of what Jesus did for us and what God did for us, that we have a chance to be with them forever. I wanted to give an update, if I could, just a real brief one on the 30-day challenge. We haven't talked about it probably for about 6 months. It's still going on, the 30-day challenge that encourages people to just read the Bible. We started this about 2 years ago here, and I think it's spread to about 300 congregations around the nation. I know we've sent out, I want to say, about 70,000 challenges since that point. We're still getting requests. Here is a note that somebody sent us this last week. It's from Roger Poe. I think it's Kalamazoo, Michigan. But he says, if you're still distributing the bookmarks, I'd like to request some more to distribute at the Beechwood Hills Camp this summer and during the Kalamazoo County Fair. We had 10 baptisms in 2016, and I have to believe that the emphasis of Bible reading had something to do with that. And so they're going to be doing that again this year. We have we get, I don't know how many letters like this that are encouraging, but it is true, his comment that the reading of the Bible has a lot to do with conversions is true. We can't be converted without really going to the Word of God and knowing what it says, and it's really a privilege to be able to encourage people to do that, and it's encouraging to hear what's going on with that. And the reason, again, goes back to this concept that there are people in this world, many people in this world, some of whom were us at one time, that are lost. And I want you to think about that word just for a little bit this morning. And everything that lost implies with it. When you think about lost, it's one of the worst words. We lost Rebecca when she was about 4 years old. We didn't lose her for a long time, just kind of misplaced her. It can happen to anyone. But it was a scary time. We had gone with a gentleman who was going to Lubbock, didn't have a lot of family that was able to do that, and so we went to a cancer visit with him. And then after the visit was over, the surgeon that was going to be doing taking care of that asked if we would come in with him so that he could kind of tell us what was going on and what was going to be needed in the follow-up. And Rebecca was with us. And Rebecca, there was just a waiting room out there, a small waiting room, and I think she was out there coloring. And so rather than bring her in for that, we just left her, you know, stay put, and left her. And we're just gone. It seemed like a few minutes, but when we got back, she was gone. And if you've ever had that with a child, then you know the sinking feeling, the helpless feeling that you have. We went all over that building. We went up and down the elevator. And like I said, it probably wasn't more than, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 or 15 minutes that she was lost. But it's one of the most helpless feelings and one of the greatest feelings of panic, I suppose, that I've ever had. Well, we finally found her. She had just gone down the hall to the bathroom, and when Carolyn went to check the bathroom, she was playing in the sink. And so it was one of those deals. Normally, there would have been a beating that would have followed, but we were so happy to find her that we didn't give her a spanking for that. It was, but you know what it's like. Sometimes, very often, if a child is lost, it'll make national news. They have a whole alert system that will wake you up in the middle of the night sometimes with an Amber Alert telling you that a child is missing. Lost is scary. If you've ever been lost, you know that. One of the privileges of growing up as a middle child was that I had the opportunity to do a lot of wandering on my own. my brother was the first, and so he took all of the sheep herding instincts away from mom and dad, and then my sister was really sick for a while, and so my mom really kind of focused on her because her sickness was so severe for several years, and so I had the freedom to wander, and I got lost on a number of occasions. Once in the woods, which was kind of scary. Several times in Houston, which was really kind of scary. But you know how that is. When you are out and you're small and you cannot find your way home and nobody knows where you're at because you didn't think to tell them that you were going there. Mainly because if you had, they would have said, don't go. But that is scary. We use the word lost very often when we talk about a death of somebody close. We lost a parent. We lost a friend. When that phrase is combined with the child, it's a heartbreaking connotation. But it's this connotation of loss that I really want you to think about this morning, because this is the state that God sees us in when we are apart from Him. And it's what He wants to remedy. He wants to take away that helplessness and that panic away from our life. And that feeling of just complete and total bewilderment that we get. In Psalms 119th chapter, in verse 176, whoever this psalmist is that wrote the 119th chapter has an incredible love for God's word and His commands. But he says this, right towards the end of all of his expressions of love for how much God's word has helped him. In verse 176, he says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. I have strayed like a lost sheep. People tend to stray, do they not? There's a lot of times where a brother or sister in Christ just won't be around all of a sudden, and we won't know where they are unless we go and we try and find out. Because people are like sheep, and they tend to stray. It's not so much a desire for evil all the time as much as it is just a distraction. Have you ever been driving along and maybe you're in a place that's not quite as familiar, but for some reason you get distracted with your thoughts and you miss your turn? I was talking to Chris not too long ago about his adventure in San Antonio. If you want to feel better about your own lost experiences, talk to Chris about that. But it is something you can just get distracted for a moment. Sometimes in our service to God, we get distracted. We get really busy with things that are important to do. Our families and our jobs. And we also get distracted sometimes from the things that are rightful in and of themselves, our entertainment, if it's a pure entertainment, or our leisure activities. But sometimes we go too far with these things and we set them up not perhaps meaning to, but as an idol. And we become distracted with these things and we lose sight of God. And before you know it, we're lost. And again, sometimes we have that feeling of bewilderment in our life that something's not quite right, but we can't quite put our finger on it. And I want to say again, it's because people, like sheep, tend to stray. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6, after an entire book, nearly, of a cautioning for the people not to leave, and then tremendous warning about the people leaving, and then a condemnation for their leaving God. God says this, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray." I want to talk about that in just a moment. "And have caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered all over the mountains and hill and forgot their own resting place." When you're a sheep, everything is a predator. You're just kind of at the low end of the totem pole. There's all sorts of things that can happen to you as a sheep. There are wolves out there. In this country, there were lions. There's all sorts of things that can get you if you wander outside of the fold. And when a sheep is lost, it's not just an inconvenience. It's probably going to lead to its death if it's not found pretty quick. Well, God is talking to about his people who have been lost sheep. That means they're no longer in a covenant relationship with him. That means that they're going to be in hell if they don't change. That's bad enough to find yourself in that state. But the reason they found themselves in this state was because their leaders had led them astray. One of the reasons why it's so important for us to read the Word of God and read it on a continual basis and not just rely on what we hear from people who may love us, our parents, our teachers, preachers, people that we respect. But there are so many people who are either misled themselves or they have ulterior motives that we don't know anything about. And in this case, Israel's shepherds, the ones that were supposed to be protecting them, had caused them to go astray. Whenever you think of false doctrine, that's really what false doctrine does. That's why there is such a warning about it. In the New Testament, I think out of the 27 books, 25 of them have some reference to false teachers. And some of the entire books are written almost with their entire focus on false teachers. There are false shepherds. There are people who are in positions of authority who do not have our best interest in mind. And we don't know that. They seem okay. And I want to say again, sometimes they're just misguided themselves. Sometimes they're not studying themselves and they are teaching a doctrine, a plan of salvation that's just not found in the scriptures. And if you accept what your Aunt Martha said about that, or what Mom said about that, or what the preacher said about that, or what the teacher said about that, without going to the Word and putting your finger on it for yourself, you will never know that you may be lost. You may feel secure. Because that's another part of lost. There are times when you are just driving along and you think you got everything under control. And then you come to find out you've been traveling in the wrong direction for 50 miles. But you thought you were okay. Or maybe as a parent, you thought your child was here and they weren't. They were lost. There are times where it's well-meaning, but there are also times where there are just evil people, and there are evil people who will mislead us and cause us to go astray. But that doesn't for one moment change the fact that we're still lost, even though it may not have been our intent. In Ezekiel chapter 34, God talks about that even further. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. When they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them or looked for them." Can you imagine leaving your child with a babysitter, a babysitter that charges you a big fee to watch your kids. You have chosen them because they're supposed to be good, because you think they're responsible. But you don't realize until it's too late that they're not. And they let your kids wander. Maybe they lose sight of your kids. Think about that from God's perspective. When He looks at us, either as parents or the shepherds of the church or somebody that's in any position of authority, and He sees them not taking care of His people, and He sees His people lost. Can you imagine how heartbreaking that is to Him? We've got to be very careful with our responsibility for that. As you read on through that, you see a harsh penalty that's coming for that. But there's something else that's really important about lost, and that is that when we are lost, God wants to find us. I'd like to call your attention to Luke, the 15th chapter. The entire 15th chapter is one on seeking the lost. In Luke chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? Let me ask you ranchers that. I know it'd be an insult to say you raise sheep if you raise cattle or goats, but suppose one of your cows got out, or steers, whatever you got. Would you go find it? Or would you say to yourself, that ungrateful cow, I have fed her, I have given her a nice pasture, and she ungratefully has left. Well, good riddance to her. Would you do that? And the answer is no, you would never do that, because that cow has value to you. Isn't it true that sometimes we see people go astray and we don't do anything? Either we think, well, they're old enough to know better, or they can suit themselves, or good riddance, they were just trouble anyway. And sometimes we treat people, oftentimes we treat people with less concern than we would treat a cow that was in our care. And we cannot do that, because each one of us, each person that we know, has a soul that is precious to God. And so God has Jesus. Jesus talks about the 100 sheep and one of them being gone, and He says, won't you search for it? In verse 5, He says this, when He finds it, He joyfully puts it on His shoulders and goes home. Then He calls His friends and His neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Have you ever seen somebody that has gone astray from the church, from the fold of God, and they've come back and everybody just kind of shuns them? Where's the joy? What have they done to you? Aren't you happy to see their soul that was in jeopardy no longer in jeopardy? They might not take care of it in the way that you would take care of it, but that's between them and God. As long as they've repented of their sins and they're back, there needs to be joy. And this joy needs to be spread. He calls His friends. They celebrate. Now, we know that in this time, that if somebody had 100 sheep and they lost one of them and they went and they found it, they wouldn't call all their friends together and celebrate. Christ is talking about people here. And when a person who is lost is found, it's a time of great joy. It's not a time to get the rod out and beat that sheep to death. It is a time of great joy. Very likely, somebody who has been gone for a while and is back has already beaten themselves quite adequately. Do we have the joy? And sometimes I wonder if we don't need to ask ourselves the question, where's the joy? Because in verse 7, Jesus says this, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And Jesus is not saying, He's not depreciating the 99. He's just saying it is so wonderful for everybody to be saved again. They were okay. If you have five kids at home and one of them is gone, You don't forget about the other four, but you're really concerned about the one that's gone. And when you find it and you bring it back, you're thrilled. Or him or her back. I guess you shouldn't call it an it. Although sometimes our children, we won't get into that. We're thrilled still to have our family with us. But the one who is in danger, the one who is in peril, the one who we didn't know what was going on in their life is back. And there's a lot of happiness in that. And that's the way that God wants us to see that. He wants us to see it from His eyes, I believe. And that's the point. And the same parable, but told in Matthew chapter 18. And don't forget, Jesus had a ministry for about 3 or 3.5 years. I'll bet He told a lot of parables over and over and changed them up a little bit for the audience. I think that's why there's talents in one and mine is in another. This may or may not be the exact same instance, but it's the same parable. And Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 12, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Isn't that a comfort? There are times when we go off and we think that God just hates us, which is the most foolish thing you could possibly think. You may be displaying your hatred towards God, but God does not hate you. A child at 5 sometimes will run away because he thinks his parents don't like him anymore, but that's not true. His parents love him. God loves us. And God is not willing for any one of us to be lost. Shouldn't we have the same attitude towards our precious brothers and sisters in Christ? Because as terrible as lost is, that's how wonderful found is on the other side. Question you need to ask yourself this morning is, are you lost? Are you a Christian? Are you old enough to be a Christian? Do you need the redeeming blood of Christ? Do you need the waters of baptism to wash away that sin? If you are a Christian and maybe you've just, maybe not gone away, but you've just kind of gotten careless. Well, you can take care of that where you sit. You can pray to God for forgiveness. You can change any time. That's the beauty of serving God. If you're lost, you need to do something about that. If we can help you do something about that, won't you come while we stand and sing?